This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We're fighting back against the Obama administration's executive overreach and unconstitutional actions.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We moved as fast as we could, and we wanted immigration done. We pushed for immigration to be done, but ultimately we could not get the votes to get it all done.
Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own. But that's not how our system works.
The problem is that, you know, I'm the President of the United States. I'm not the Emperor of the United States.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Unfortunately, a number of Republican governors chose to sue. They found a district court judge who has stopped us going forward with this program. But that's just the first part of the process. This is just one federal judge. We have appealed it very aggressively. We're going to be as aggressive as we can.
These are the kind of lawful actions taken by every president, Republican and Democrat, for the past 50 years. So when members of Congress question whether I have the authority to do this, I have one answer. Yes, and pass a bill.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. We are preparing to file a brief. And folks, we want you to join in this committee to protect the separation of powers. The Obama administration has appealed a preliminary injunction issued against the President Obama's executive action on immigration. Now, we already know 100,000 people have received some kind of grant of deferred action to stay in America for at least 3 years, get work permits, even while this case is ongoing. They've now filed for a emergency stay at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And, Dad, we're preparing as we speak to file as well.
Yeah, I just actually looked at a draft of the brief last night, and this morning we are getting very close. This is a critical brief, folks. What's happened here is the president lost at the district court, where the district court judge said that under separation of powers, exactly the arguments we made, the president did not have the authority to change the law on his own initiative, that presidents don't have that authority. I said it on the broadcast yesterday. Impatient presidents don't get to just change the law on their own. There was a sense that the administration was just going to take this through the normal appeal process rather than what's called an expedited appeal or a stay. But the pressure from the left was so great that the White House felt that they had no choice, and they decided to move forward with what is in essence a full-blown attempt to get a stay from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. In other words, trying to get the district court, judge's opinion vacated pending an appeal. It's hard to do, but they've moved forward. So we are filing a brief combating that at the Fifth Circuit. And we believe that the law is on our side here, that it's clear that under the separation of powers, the president just doesn't get to do this on his own initiative. But ask yourself this question. Why is the president willing to risk? Why is he willing to risk a Fifth Circuit decision that could well go against him, saying that he's overreached his constitutional authority? We're taking your comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we want to hear from you on this topic. Why do you think the president's doing this? What's the process? I think the pressure from the left is great, but I think the president also believes that he should be able to just do this, despite the fact that he said he's not the king, he's not the emperor of the United States, and he can't do it. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also call your attention to our website at aclj.org. We have posted the letter from Saeed Abedini to his 7-year-old son. It is Jacob's birthday today. Obviously, we were hoping and praying that Saeed would be home for the birthday. He's not, obviously, but he's written a letter to his son. We encourage you to read that on our website at aclj.org. Folks, sign on to the petition. We're almost at 180,000. With phone calls, we probably are. We want to get to 200,000 for this brief on the separation of powers. It's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can be part of history here. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Back with your calls.
The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration has now taken its case regarding its immigration action to a federal appeals court, an emergency appeal, asking that an injunction issued by a lower court be halted so the immigration action can move forward. From the beginning, the ACLJ has supported a federal lawsuit challenging this illegal immigration action, an unconstitutional overreach that not only violates the law, but the Constitution as well. Here's the challenge, though. We must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline, and that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the Appeals Court. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The President enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, and we'll get to those in just a moment. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. The Obama administration in federal court filing an emergency stay, a motion for stay pending appeal in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Remember, there was a temporary injunction issued against President Obama's executive action, not executive order, executive action on the deferred actions for the parents of the childhood arrival. So a very different spin on the immigration side of the issue, but really ultimately, as you go through the case, on the side of those, the 26 states and the members of Congress, we represent 68 and thousands of you in our committee to protect the separation of powers. And you look at our argument, and it's a constitutional, legal argument based on the Constitution, the Administrative Procedures Act, how this impacts the states. If you look at the Obama administration's emergency motion, Dad, what I see is the political argument, a lot of policy, and that's really not what this is about. This is not about is it a good policy or not. It's about whether it's legal and where the separation of powers goes. And so I don't like to get this issue muddled with immigration. Of course, involves right. that, but this really is ultimately about presidential power.
It really is. And folks, no matter what your position is on immigration, whether you're in favor of amnesty or not in favor of amnesty or a pathway to citizenship or not a pathway to citizenship, the fact of the matter is presidents don't get to change the law. Under the Constitution, that is not a power reserved to the executive. That is a power designated to the legislative body. And that's what's really the challenge in this particular case. And that's why we're fighting so aggressively. My goal was to get to 200,000 signatures on this brief. We are right now, as it stands, at 178,183. With phone calls, probably 180,000. We want to get to 200,000, certainly within the next a couple of days here. So we want to encourage you to go to aclj.org. If you haven't signed on to this, you're going to be part of history, holding the president accountable. We just want the court to declare that the district court judge was right, that there was no way in which a president can change the law like this. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And don't forget, the letter is up on our website from Syed Abedini to his 7-year-old son Jacob on his birthday. Today is Jacob's birthday, so we encourage you to be in prayer for the Abedini family, and we're talking about a lot of issues here, obviously, but don't want to forget that as well, and just up at aclj.org. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We're taking your calls, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go right to Britt in Nevada on line 3. Britt, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Britt.
Hi, guys. Hey, first off, thanks a lot for everything you fight for and
thanks.
All that you do. You know, you hear a lot about this executive order, and even on the well-meaning people in the news, they tend to get stumbled when somebody brings up the fact that other presidents have done
right.
this, like Reagan, for instance. And I wondered if you could kind of enlighten me and whoever wants to listen as far as how what Obama's doing is different.
Well, we had, I'll tell you what, I said this at the hearing because this came up at our hearing when they said, you know, President Reagan did this, isn't that enough? Let me go ahead and play for you. This is what I said at the hearing just a few weeks back, number 30.
This reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that.
Yeah, so these are
unconstitutional actions.
So these are, it was an unconstitutional act. The fact that it was cloaked in this, you know, past constitutional acts, that doesn't mean it was constitutional. People could say it was constitutional, but it wasn't. There's another way of saying it, Jerry, and that is, or Britt, two constitutional wrongs don't make a right. Of course, it wasn't affecting 7 million people or 5 million people. It was affecting 150,000. But again, we got to be careful here. This is really is a question of the separation of powers and what a president can and cannot do. And it gets lost in this immigration debate, but it's really – that's really not what this is about. So, but I appreciate your call. It's a really good question. Taking your phone calls, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Jordan, you bring up another point that there was actually an underlying law, and I said they may be distinguishable because there was an underlying law there.
Well, that's right. I mean, with President Reagan's action, it was an immigration reform law in 1986. So that was, again, the amnesty that was granted there. The issue that arises is that it was supposed to be followed by border security, which is why we see the debate now shift where people say, okay, we've done this once before where you say border security will come with it, and it didn't happen. And that was the case in 1986, and people have been very open about that. So on that major change in the existing legal status of people that was so sweeping, that was part of an actual law.
Yeah, and that's very different here where the president's basically making up the law because he doesn't like the law that exists. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take another call here.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Jerry in Indiana on line 4. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you, sir? I was just curious if they had any way to get a figure worked up on how much assistance is going to illegal aliens through public assistance.
Billions of dollars, I suspect. Jordan, have we seen actual numbers on that?
Well, that's actually in the case, and that was part of the district court's why there was a preliminary injunction, because the states could show in Texas specifically, but it's 26 states total, so you got the majority of states in the country, and show the financial damage it would be just based off the precedent set in the earlier cases, like in Arizona in 2009,
right.
where the administration, under that holding, you could go to the step that basically, if the federal government has this policy, then the states would have to issue things like driver's licenses, not just IDs. And you know, with that comes the cost of tracking that, the issue of how to handle that. And of course, there are some issues where states are able to make their own decisions on the kind of benefits they offer. But when it comes to federal-state programs that are combined, joint efforts, it changes everything. And
yeah.
Driver's license is another example. It comes from the state directly, and it's not a federal issue. But under the federal precedent in court, that Texas was saying, you know, we're going to be forced to do this, like it or not. You know, we won't get to make the decision. And that was a cost alone that encouraged the judge and one of the reasons why he issued the preliminary injunction.
There are estimates of somewhere between $184 million for total costs. It could go $324 million. That's just employee costs. And then between $324 million and $484 million, it's almost $500 million a year. Those are estimates. I mean, you know, it's still being compiled, but it's a serious number with serious ramifications. And again, that is the underlying policy. What's at stake here is, can the president, and this is where we need you on this brief, folks, can the president do this on his own? And the answer to that has to be no. So we want to encourage you to make that call at 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org and have your voice added to this. It's important that we hear from you. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255 as we get near 200,000 signatures. We are going to go right back to the phones and take another phone call here at 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Ron in North Carolina on line 6. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just think he's at a point to where he knows that he's destroyed it for his party and that he really don't care, that he's just going to do whatever happens.
Well, I think you've got the president is frustrated because his party lost the control of the Senate. They didn't have control of the House, and now the reality is, there's legislation being passed. The president just doesn't want to sign it. I mean, this is part of the problem that's going on right now. The president does not want to sign the legislation that's being passed. So you've got three branches of government. This is the way it works. Hey, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, available in bookstores everywhere. We encourage you to get that. Again, go to the website at aclj.org, and I'm sure we're going to have this on Facebook as well. We've got and I think this is really, really important. He got the letter from Syed Abedini to his son Jacob. It is now posted. This is the 7th birthday for Jacob Abedini and the 3rd birthday that his father has not been there for. So we want you to be praying for the Abedini family, praying that we get a release of Syed. We're working on it literally all the time. We've got an interesting tweet came in from Nancy Newton. She says, praying for Syed and his family. What's up with the State Department? Why hasn't Iran freed Syed? Kerry has the opportunity. Let's pray right now that while Secretary of State Kerry is over there, that he negotiates and obtains the release of Syed Abedini. And Nancy, we believe that a lot of people are praying for that. The State Department's working on it. The Ambassador for Religious Freedom is working on it. We have everybody engaged right now. But it's the Iranians, so we have to be realistic, and we just need everybody's prayer on that. Jordan's going to let you know how you can sign on to this brief. We'll be back with your calls in a moment. Jordan, go ahead.
You can call our toll-free number now to join the committee to protect the separation of powers. This is about this president, future presidents, and how our government works. Call now. The toll-free number to add your name to the committee is 877-989-2255. We're getting ready to file, folks. This is the time to join. Call 877-989-2255. Now, you can also go to aclj.org, find information about the committee, about the case, about what's happening here. But I encourage you, go to aclj.org and sign or call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. I move myself and my family aside.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration has now taken its case regarding its immigration action to a federal appeals court, an emergency appeal, asking that an injunction issued by a lower court be halted so the immigration action can move forward. From the beginning, the ACLJ has supported a federal lawsuit challenging this illegal immigration action, an unconstitutional overreach that not only violates the law, but the Constitution as well. Here's the challenge, though. we must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline, and that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the Appeals Court. Add your name to our Committee to Defend the Separation of Powers. The Constitution is clear. The President enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We are talking now about President Obama's executive action when it comes to trying to expand deferred action grants by the federal government for those who came to the country illegally. Remember, first it started with those who came here as minors, so they were the kind of being brought with their parents and not making the willful decision. That was still constitutionally questionable. Then it was expanded in 2014 to include November 2014 to include. Now, it's not an executive order. It's the way the administration's trying to do it is an executive action, that it's a change in their prosecutorial discretion. But it's really doing what law should be doing and determining going through the normal legal process and then how a bill becomes law instead of this temporary executive action, which is not long term. It's not a lot of stability. It's not something people can rely on. The president's even admitted that. But now it's in federal courts, and 26 states are challenging this. We represent 68 members of Congress, thousands of you, over 170,000 of you who have signed on to our committee to protect the separation of powers. It's now at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals because there was a temporary injunction. There was a victory here. Immediately, a district court judge said they're issuing a temporary injunction. We got to get to the merits of this case before the law, this executive action, not a law, before the policy goes into effect and the administration starts doing this. The administration appealed it there, and the judge said, which is normal process, it'll be a couple months till we get to that. Then there was a time period of a few weeks, and finally the administration has taken that to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals because of pressure from the left. We're getting ready to file. We want to hear from you. We want you to join this committee. We're taking your phone calls as well, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go back to the phones. A lot of calls are coming in, and I want to go to Michael calling from Texas. He's got a different view. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. Before, I'm hearing a lot of your comments, and you're asking for petitions and signs, and I'm totally agree on some, you know, on some items, because I know it is true on some other things. But right now, you're attacking many items. Like example, you say the license, if they pass the law helping immigrants like me, is going to be so many expenses, like to give us a driver license and all the things, but you don't count that. Example, I am paying taxes. I have my own company. If I can be able to have a driver license, I'm going to pay the fee like everybody else to have a license. If they give me some kind of papers, I'm going to have to pay the fees for many fees that is coming to, you know, through that process. Not anything is going to be for free.
Yeah, well, Michael, I get where you're coming from, your perspective. I would want to ask you this. Would you benefit from either of these actions? So were you brought here? I'm not thinking just based on your voice. You wouldn't qualify under the deferred action for childhood arrivals. And I'm not sure if you're the parent of a childhood arrival. So would you qualify even under what the president is proposing here? Because it's not comprehensive. It does not, impact the estimated 11 to 20 million people here who may be in this kind of situation. It's more limited to about still a lot of people, 4 to 5 million. But I was just wondering, would this even directly benefit you?
Yes, on any of those three or two items, they benefit me.
How does it benefit you? Would you fall under the category? Is it clear to you that you meet the criteria that the administration's even put forward?
Yes, sir.
And which one is it? Is it the childhood arrival or a parent of someone? All right, so you're saying it would. I will take your word for that. I think here's the problem. What happens to you in the situation where a different president comes into office in a couple of years and they decide this is a bad policy?
Well, if they're going to remove it, at least I have something for now. You know, it's better to have something that doesn't have anything. You know, it's like, you know, you are attacking...
This is what concerns me, Michael. This is what concerns me. I get handling this issue. I don't think we disagree on the importance of that. And I respect people like you who are trying to make things right. I would say this. If this moves forward, the likelihood of getting comprehensive reform, something you can rely on for the future, so that as you expand your business, as your family grows, and as you want to, again, it becomes legit, want to make that legitimate, you're going to be in a situation where, because this has caused so much trouble in the debate and the legal sphere and in Washington and federal, which they've got to handle this, that you're not going to get to that point. And so it's causing such a problem that instead of, like, for instance, Michael, I'll ask you this, because I think it's a very interesting phone call. Are you opposed to border security at the same time as implementing comprehensive reform? I wouldn't think you are.
No, absolutely not. They can close the border at all. They can put a...
And, you know, here's the thing, Michael. This is why I think we disagree more than not, and I respect your opinion, is that that is the problem. In Washington, if we put forward that kind of proposal right now, your situation would be handled. But unfortunately, there's these special interests on both sides, but especially right now because the president's in control, and there's not a you know, he's going to veto things that have the border security as part of it. So I think this is a message that has to be loud and clear. Now, this is more of the policy, but from you is that you're not opposed to the border security at the same time. So stop lumping in everybody who wants immigration reform with in your situation, with an open border and not securing the border and preventing things in the future. And so that's where I think there's agreement, but the message is not clear. And with this legal issue, you don't want to look down the road just 3 years. And that's why, folks, we're going to continue to fight this, because it's not even just about immigration. It's about an expansion of presidential power and kind of going subverting the normal legal process of going through Congress, a bill's proposed, it's passed by both houses of Congress, it goes to the president for signature, and then it's faithfully, you know, the laws are faithfully executed. And this is not the case here. If you want to join with us, it's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. You can sign and join this committee online. You can sign up. You can share it with your friends and family. And I encourage you to do that, 877-989-2255. Lillian is calling in from California on line 3. Lillian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. There's two issues in this. Number one, the president wants to kind of overrule and go around the Congress all the times, from what I see. And what you're doing is correct, trying to keep the presidency to follow the law. Number two is, if we play politics and say, okay, President Reagan did this, or other presidents, we should look at... what was the result? Every time we do something, we should go over and correct and make it better. So President Reagan gave the amnesty, but never followed through to close the border. What happened? Now we have millions of people.
Yeah, we've got to handle it again. And Lillian, I'm just jumping in because we only got 40 seconds left before we take the next break. Remember, we got another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. I want to encourage this too. An important update on Pastor Saeed Abedini. It's up at aclj.org. Today is his son Jacob's 7th birthday, the 3rd birthday without his father. And an important plea there. So it's a great day to share. Make sure people remember Pastor Saeed and the Abedini family in their prayers. That information is up at aclj.org. There's couple of articles on Fox News, one by my dad, one by the Fox News news team, about this situation today, this important date. So be in prayer for the Abedini family. Share those stories with your friends and family. And call now, 877-989-2255.
We must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline, and that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the Appeals Court. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The President enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Now, the issue is the president's executive action on immigration. The legal issue is the separation of powers, the constitutional issues, the executive overreach. It's not really about policy because you can put forward the legislation, go through the legal process, propose a bill, the bill can become law, the president can sign it, and then you can have the kind of reform you want. And Congress has that authority under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. But at the same time, what the president's done here is try to subvert that, unwilling to work with Congress, won't compromise. And so we're in this situation now where 26 states, the majority of states in the country, we represent 68 members of Congress, have filed against this. They got a temporary injunction against the implementation of this new executive action by the president, the expansion that happened in November 2014. What happens next? Well, now the administration is taking it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. They want to stay on the injunction. So they want this to be able to go into effect now, even while the case moves forward in federal court. And so this is at the Fifth Circuit. We're preparing to file our brief. We want you to be part of our committee to protect the separation of powers. You call now, 877-989-2255 to join that committee. That's 877-989-2255. I'm going to go right back to the phones. A lot of calls coming in. We'll go to Terry in North Carolina online, too. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
You there? Hey, Terry, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. In addition to all the good that you do, we really need someone high profile to organize a mass protest in D.C. Against illegal immigration to secure our borders. I mean, I'm Hispanic. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, but I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and 98% of illegal immigrants come over here because they know they're not going to be deported. They know they're going to get benefits easily, and their attitude is just arrogance and entitlement. That's all I see.
Well, listen, I think that there's a mix, Terry, and I think that there are people who are coming to abuse the system, and there's people who are here. They find themselves in tough situations. You know, there's people that thought they were just going to come for a little bit. You know, so I think that you have to look. There's a security aspect. There's a legitimacy aspect, and you can we aren't at a point. We don't have a way to handle that. Our law is just not set up to handle the people who are here already, who may have been here for years. It's something we talked about since, for I think now 10 years about how we need reform on this, and it just has not moved because there's been a disagreement on securing the border at the same time. And I think you come together on that, you can then handle this issue. You could even do it simultaneously. Here's the point, though, I think that needs to be made. From our perspective, we're able to fight this in court. There are groups, and we've been part of the public protests as well, and there are groups that will organize that. I think right now we've been successful in federal court. Ultimately, it's a long-term issue and a short-term kind of solution that's been proposed here that's not – it's only temporary. So this is not going away. What the bigger picture here is the presidential power and the overreach. And listen, so long as the administration – now, there's a question here in this case. As long as the administration is following the federal court orders, the overreach they attempted, is not supposed to go into effect. Now, it already had been going into effect, and that wasn't clear. That's actually coming up in federal court to handle that issue. We'll continue to take your phone calls, but I want to encourage you to speak out. We need to hear from you, folks. It's one issue to tackle the policy, but we're not there. The debate's not happening. Where we're at right now is an executive overreach by the president. I want you to call now and join our committee to protect the separation of powers. The toll-free number is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. My dad testified on Capitol Hill about this very issue. We'll be playing some of that when we come back from the break. I want to also encourage you again to be in prayer for Saeed Abedini and his family. Today is his son's 7th birthday. There's a lot of up on Fox News and on ACLJ.org about that because it'll be the 3rd birthday. His dad is not able to be there. So be in prayer for the Abedini family and for Jacob Abedini and for Saeed and the persecuted church around the world. We'll be right back.
Oh,
The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration has now taken its case regarding its immigration action to a federal appeals court, an emergency appeal, asking that an injunction issued by a lower court be halted so the immigration action can move forward. From the beginning, the ACLJ has supported a federal lawsuit challenging this illegal immigration action, an unconstitutional overreach that not only violates the law, but the Constitution as well. Here's the challenge, though. We must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline, and that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the Appeals Court. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The President enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in this segment of the broadcast, I want to take you back several weeks to really where our engagement on this immigration case, on this executive action case began. And that was in the House Judiciary Committee, where Chairman Goodlatte convened a hearing to talk about the constitutionality of what the president wanted to do, this action that really wrote new law in the space of immigration. He called Jay in front of the committee to testify, not on the underlying policy issue, and you're actually going to hear some of this discussion when I play the audio in just a minute, but he wanted Jay to talk about the constitutional separation of powers, whether or not the president had the authority and the discretion to do what he wanted to do in this area, or whether or not it was a legislative power reserved only for the Article I branch, the legislative branch. Jay, of course, made a very forceful case that this area of the law, this legislating in this space, belongs only to the Congress under the Constitution of the United States. Jay went before the House Judiciary Committee to make this case. This is several weeks ago, and it really set the groundwork for all of the litigation that we are in now. I wanted to play some of this sound for you just to kind of remind you where this all started. Again, this is Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee, chaired by Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia, from several weeks ago.
The Department of Homeland Security does not have the resources, based on what Congress has allocated to it, to deport those 11 million undocumented immigrants, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. So since we've established factually there's no way that DHS can deport 11 million undocumented immigrants, because it does not have the resources to do so, it's got to establish priorities as it relates to deportation, true?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. Now, who actually has the authority to establish those priorities? Isn't it the Secretary of Homeland Security and therefore the President who appoints him?
The Secretary of Homeland Security is authorized on a case-by-case basis. Prosecutors are authorized on a case-by-case basis. That's markedly different from a group exemption.
Right. So, but we can't, this, first of all, this is not a group exemption, and I think that's just been a blanket misrepresentation. Well, I think many of my colleagues have actually corrected it, but there's at least five factors that individuals will have to prove, right? Present since 2010.
Right.
Documentation will be required to demonstrate that. You can't just show up and make that representation.
That puts you in the class.
Reclaiming my time, I'm not finished. Qualifying child, you got to demonstrate that.
Correct.
Birth certificate, perhaps, passport, whatever the case may be. Documentation. Continuing presence, again, it's going to require documentation. Right. Four, not an enforcement priority. And then five, of course, you have to pass a criminal background check. Those are all individual factors that will be assessed by the Department of Homeland Security to determine eligibility, correct?
To determine if you're eligible for the class, that does not constitute an individual determination.
Okay. Well, we disagree on that. Now, in terms of, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm behind the dais. You're answering questions.
Yep.
We appreciate whatever authority you are bringing to this discussion, but you are not the definitive authority. In fact, you know, what the Supreme Court has said, and let's touch on that, you know, the Arizona v. United States case has been brought up. Are you familiar with that case?
Yes, sir.
And do you believe that this case in any way contributes to the debate as to whether the president has discretion to defer deportation?
No, SB 10, the conclusion of the Supreme Court was, of course, that the federal government has the authority and the states cannot override immigration authority that's federally enunciated.
Right. Okay.
The
but Justice Kennedy stated in the majority opinion, a principal feature of the removal system is the broad discretion exercised by immigration officials. Federal officials, as an initial matter, must decide whether it makes sense to pursue removal at all.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
That's what Justice Kennedy stated.
Federal officials.
Okay, now, we've already established that the resources don't exist for the Department of Homeland Security to remove all 11 million undocumented immigrants. True?
Yes.
So immigration officials, it seems to me, consistent with this Supreme Court decision, which was written in 2012, on immigration, not on FDA matters, not on other collateral matters, on immigration, establishes clearly that the Department of Homeland Security and this president has the ability to make priority determinations related to deportation. Isn't that clear?
Over a state determination. It involved the constitutionality of SB 10. This is a very different situation, with due respect, Congressman, to a situation where there's going to be a blanket creation of a class that is now protected outside of congressional authority.
Okay.
The answer to your question is pass a law.
Since President, I agree with that. The president agrees with that. Since President Eisenhower in 1956, 39 occasions there's been executive action related to deferred enforcement connection with immigration, correct?
Yes.
39 occasions, right? It happened under Eisenhower and Kennedy related to approximately 900,000 Cubans.
Right.
It happened under Ford with approximately 200,000 Vietnamese. Happened under President Reagan, I think as it relates to approximately 200,000 Nicaraguans. Happened under George Bush, 43, as it relates to Liberians. And of course it happened under the first President Bush with respect to 1.5 million undocumented immigrants, correct?
Yes.
But you don't believe this president has the authority?
I'm not sure where the president does have authority. But I've stated consistently in my testimony that I believe that, especially as it related to the situation with President Bush, 41, as well as with President Reagan, that I think it is constitutionally suspect, as I think this is as well.
Right. My time has expired. I yield back.
Professor Sekulow, if the administration said in states where the states have eliminated prohibitions against marijuana, that they're not going to prosecute any low-level marijuana cases, would that be constitutional?
Well, I think the Supremacy Clause, if there's a federal law on marijuana use, the state can't override it.
That's right. Absolutely right. If the president says, notwithstanding that reality, they're not going to prosecute cases, would that be constitutional?
On a case-by-case basis, utilizing prosecutorial discretion, he could do that. What he could not do, though, Congressman Scott, would be say, we are no longer going to enforce the drug laws in the United States, or even particularly the marijuana laws in the United States. That individual case-by-case determination is critical, but it's in this memo because it was the only way to justify the president's actions.
So it would not be constitutional to not prosecute in those states?
If the president were to determine as a matter of executive action,
right,
that he was not going to enforce the laws against the utilization of marijuana as a criminal act, I believe that that would not be within his authority. Saying on an individual basis, he wants to exercise discretion, you can do that on an individual basis.
And if you disagree with that, then that's pretty much where we are on this debate.
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, the Family Fairness Program, I understand that President Bush covered about 42% of the undocumented population. The Obama administration, this executive order covers about 35%. Can you explain, Mr. Secular, how President Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush, can you remind us how they can do something, but all of a sudden President Obama can't do essentially the same thing?
As I said in the written testimony, Congressman Scott, and as I said in my opening statement, I don't believe that President Bush, President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama have the constitutional authority to do what they did. And the fact that it's been done for four administrations and over 25 or 30 years, as I said, constitutional violations don't get better with time. I mean, there's some have argued that there's statutory determination, you know, distinctions that are at play here. I don't take that position. I take the position that if you look at it just constitutionally, was there a constitutional basis upon which those actions were taken? And I'm frankly, I don't see it. And I'm sympathetic to what they were doing. It's just I don't see it to be done that way. And this percentages should make no constitutionality is not determined by the percentage of violation. If there's a violation of 1%, it's as bad as a violation of 99%.
Is there any constitutional legal distinction from a general deferment and a country-specific action?
Yes, because of the president's inherent, the Supreme Court has recognized this, his inherent ability to deal with matters of foreign affairs and national affairs of the country.
And if there is a violation, who has standing to complain?
The great question.
Good.
The standing question. You know, I think some of the states are going to try to have standing in this particular case. Standing's always a difficult in these kind of challenges.
If the president had just done it without talking about it, what would...
He would have been found out. You can't do it to 4 million people. And I'll be, again, brutally honest here, as someone who's in favor of immigration reform. As a lawyer, I would not recommend my client take a deal where their status is revocable at any time at the agency's discretion. So maybe he would have done it. I question how many people are going to actually take part in this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Again, folks, that was Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee from several weeks ago. And folks, there is so much more at stake than just immigration policy. This is really about whether or not this president and any president in the future is going to be restrained from infringing on that legislating power that belongs to the United States Congress. If our way of government is going to be maintained, folks, we have to make sure that the powers of the executive are restrained as the founders of our nation intended them to be. If you want to stand for that principle, if you want to add your name to this committee, which will join our brief being filed at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I want you to call now, 877-989-2255, or sign online at aclj.org. Stand for separation of powers. Call now, 877-989-2255, and add your name. King of Kings, oh yeah!
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration has now taken its case regarding its immigration action to a federal appeals court, an emergency appeal, asking that an injunction issued by a lower court be halted so the immigration action can move forward. From the beginning, the ACLJ has supported a federal lawsuit challenging this illegal immigration action, an unconstitutional overreach that not only violates the law, but the Constitution as well. Here's the challenge, though. We must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline, and that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the Appeals Court. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The President enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in this segment of the broadcast, I want to take you back several weeks to really where our engagement on this immigration case, on this executive action case began. And that was in the House Judiciary Committee, where Chairman Goodlatte convened a hearing to talk about the constitutionality of what the president wanted to do, this action that really wrote new law in the space of immigration. He called Jay in front of the committee to testify, not on the underlying policy issue, and you're actually going to hear some of this discussion when I play the audio in just a minute, but he wanted Jay to talk about the constitutional separation of powers, whether or not the president had the authority and the discretion to do what he wanted to do in this area, or whether or not it was a legislative power reserved only for the Article I branch, the legislative branch. Jay, of course, made a very forceful case that this area of the law, this legislating in this space, belongs only to the Congress under the Constitution of the United States. The key line in this testimony that you're going to hear in just a minute is that impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way, and that's really what happened in this case. The president of the United States could not get a law change like he preferred through the United States Congress, so he decided to act on his own. He acted unilaterally. He issued these executive actions, and he clearly infringed on the authorities that belong to the Article I branch under the powers of the Constitution of the United States. Jay went before the House Judiciary Committee to make this case. This is several weeks ago, and it really set the groundwork for all of the litigation that we are in now. I wanted to play some of this sound for you just to kind of remind you where this all started. Again, this is Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee, chaired by Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia, from several weeks ago.
Mr. Jay Sekulow is the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, which advocates for the protection of constitutional and religious freedoms. A distinguished professor of law at Regent University, Mr. Sekulow has argued 12 cases before the nation's highest court, including McConnell versus FEC, where he ensured the constitutional rights of young people remain protected with a unanimous decision guaranteeing that minors can participate in political campaigns. Mr. Sekulow received his PhD from Regent University with a dissertation on American legal history. He's an honors graduate from Mercer Law School, where he served on the Mercer Law Review, and an honors graduate of Mercer University. Mr. Sekulow, welcome.
Chairman Goodlatte, Ranking Member Conyers, distinguished members of the committee, on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice and over 75,000 of our members, thank you for allowing me to appear before you today. Determining presidential authority is a task which must be engaged in with only one question. Does the president's actions meet constitutional scrutiny? In this case, they do not. It is humbling for this grandson of a Russian immigrant to be before this committee today. My father is in the audience. His father, my grandfather, came to the United States in 1914. In 1929, he applied for citizenship, filed a petition for naturalization. My daughter-in-law found this online. 2 years later, a United States District Court judge in Brooklyn, New York, granted Sam Sekulow his status. She found that order as well. I believe in immigration. I'm the grandson of that Russian immigrant. I get to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States and appear before this committee. That's a humbling thing. Immigration law was complex for my grandfather in 1931, and it is still complex today. The Constitution, however, is not. Our system of government is straightforward. Congress writes the law, the president executes the law, the judiciary interprets the law. This is the separation of powers mandated by our Constitution. The president does not make the law. Now, with due respect, some of the statements that have been made, the president has stated that he changed the law. And I don't believe there's anyone on this committee that believes the president has the authority to change the law. He was being heckled at an event, similar to what we experienced today. There's passions on the side of the issues. I understand that. I think we all understand that. I joined Professor Rotunda, and I believe in significant and complete immigration reform. I believe in a pathway to citizenship. But I believe to do that through the legal process set forth in the Constitution. And the president doesn't get to change the law. He actually said that, though, that he changed the law. That was how he handled the question that was asked. He changed the law. Presidents cannot change the law. He can't do so constitutionally. He cannot do so under Supreme Court precedent. He can't change the law to comport with his preferred public policy, much of which I share. The president's executive action really disrupts the delicate balance of separation of powers that is the hallmark of our constitutional framework. Justice Frankfurter stated that regarding immigration and immigration issues, talking about being the exclusive power of Congress, that the formulation of these policies is entrusted exclusively to Congress. Now, 5 and 5 does not equal 15, no matter how many times you say it. And when 5 and 5 then equals 10, which is correct, that past constitutional wrong is not what made that correct. So this reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that, unconstitutional actions. President Obama also misplaces his reliance on the authority generally granted to the Secretary of Homeland Security. It's very different to utilize your resources to determine the status of your prosecutorial mandates and how you're going to use your limited resources. The condition of entry, though, of classes of aliens and having that denied or granted and creating a class, a new class, is not what the president has the authority to do. As sympathetic as it might be to the plight of people involved, he simply doesn't have that constitutional authority. And I think that with all the emotion we've even seen today, you have to put that aside. The question does, it comes back to the same question. Does the president have the authority? And by the way, if you look at the OLC memo and compare it to what the president said the deal was, quoting the president's word of what the deal is, I'd ask my colleague from the Immigration Law Center if she would recommend her clients accept the deal. Because the deal the president talked about did not talk about unfettered discretion with the agency that could be terminated at any time with case-by-case determination. That's not the deal the president talked about. That's not the deal the president put in place. And I would not recommend my client to accept the deal that the president has actually offered, which is very different than the deal outlined in the OLC memorandum. I would ask that to my colleague because standardless, absolute discretionary review by government agencies has been something I've been dealing with for 30 years at the Supreme Court of the United States. And it just generally does not go very well for the agency. OLC said it was required, though, for the president's actions to be deemed constitutional. As I said, I would not recommend my client to take the deal. In conclusion, in our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Again, folks, that was Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee from several weeks ago, finishing with that line, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way. And folks, there is so much more at stake than just immigration policy. This is really about whether or not this president and any president in the future is going to be restrained from infringing on that legislating power that belongs to the United States Congress. If our way of government is going to be maintained, folks, we have to make sure that the powers of the executive are restrained as the founders of our nation intended them to be. If you want to stand for that principle, if you want to add your name to this committee, which will join our brief being filed at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I want you to call now, 877-989-2255, or sign online at aclj.org. Stand for separation of powers. Call now, 877-989-2255, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
We must file an amicus brief with the Federal Appeals Court immediately. It's a very tight deadline. And that's exactly why we need to hear from you today. Add your name to our brief that will be filed with the appeals court. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.